Hey, Kyle, how are you?
Great. How you doing, Tony?
Well, I just find out that I don't have to buy school supplies. We spent a little over 70 bucks yesterday, 100 bucks total. I wonder what public schools would do, Kyle, if parents didn't purchase those goods.
Well, they'd be up a creek, I think, without a paddle, as I think my mom used to say. You know, that's the problem with cuts to schools is the supplies, the books, the extracurriculars that we used to get for free, you know, they're just going away. I mean, you got to pay the union teachers. You got to pay the staff, the custodial staff. You've got to pay everybody else, and the contracts are in place. And, you know, there's a few other places to cut.
I want to get your take before we start talking about state politics on the Lansing City Council finally deciding that we should put it before a vote, put it before the people on whether or not to develop the Red Cedar Golf Course and parts of that land. What were your thoughts when you heard that?
Well, you know, and I don't know the technical reasons about why you would put something on the ballot that you could vote for yourself. As far as the city council doing it without the vote of the people, I mean, maybe they had to do it. I don't know all the details on that. But, you know, I think it's a good thing anyway that things are moving forward, I mean, for the city of Lansing. I was just over at the Red Cedar former golf course, and, you know, the thing's just an eyesore. I mean, the grass is all practically up to your waist, and the old building is run down, and, you know, it's not, you know, it's dilapidated. The fencing's not adequate. You can just walk right on in if you wanted to. In fact, I did. So, you know, it's an eyesore to the city, and the sooner that we can get it fixed and turn it into something productive, I think the better for everybody.
Let's talk about the state capitol. We're going to be in session today, and we got our legislators in town. Tell us what's going on.
Well, the big thing on the agenda is for the legislature to put the final touches on legislation that basically will mandate that public school employees and public employees across the state, whether you're in state or local government, pay a certain portion of their health care costs. The plan that the legislature is going to be looking at today and likely send to the governor would require that all public employees pay a certain dollar amount. And if the local unit of government or the school board doesn't like these set cap amounts, then they can do it on a percentage basis. And what they're looking at right now is if you're a single person, you pay around $5,000 a year for your health care. If you're married, it's about $10,000, and don't quote me exactly on the amounts, it's kind of rough. And then if you're a family, it's about $15,000 a year for your health care. And if the district doesn't want to do that, then the public employee can pay 20% of their health care costs. Now, local units of government, they're going to let opt out of this if they want, but it would take a supermajority of their city council or village council and the approval of the executive if there's a strong executive system of government like here in Lansing with our full-time mayor.
What else are they going to be working on? Anything of substance?
Well, there's also the welfare reform bill that the legislature is going to be sending to the governor likely today, and those are stricter requirements on the 4-year lifetime limit on welfare benefits. Currently, there is one in place, but there's a lot of exceptions, and basically folks who can make a good case, the Department of Human Services can continue to get their welfare past 4 years. Well, now they're going to tighten that down. And there's going to be several thousands of people in Michigan who won't be able to get welfare benefits. They'll just have run out. They'll hit that 4-year time frame, and they're going to be off welfare.
Let's talk a little bit about the other item that we've been talking about since early spring, and that's the bridge. Anything new on that?
Well, there's been we're kind of in the town hall phase on that right now, where the folks from the Ambassador Bridge who don't want the new span, don't want the competition across the Detroit River, are holding town halls. And also the folks who are, you know, in support or just want to find out more information about what's being called the new international trade crossing is holding town halls as well. Brian Calley, the lieutenant governor, is going to be in Macomb County as a guest of a representative out there to talk about it. And last night we had a town hall in Troy with former Senate Majority Leader Mike Bishop and another current state rep, Chuck Moss, to talk about the bridge, and they had as a special guest Matthew Maroon, who is the son of the bridge's owner, Ambassador Bridge owner, Matty Maroon. So, you know, it's all a kind of a dissemination of information right now and trying to get the public on their side. Meanwhile, the governor wants to have an authority in place to manage the new bridge by October, and the legislature is kind of chuckling at that. Don't think that they can meet that October deadline, but they're thinking more maybe the end of the year they can get some resolution on it one way or the other.
Kyle, tell us about the personal property tax. I know it's been discussed by Brian Calley recently that the government or that the administration would like a phase out of that. Where do we stand there?
Well, where you stand is you need to find a way to replace the revenue. You know, personal property tax is, and we're talking about the property tax that businesses pay on their equipment, and this affects manufacturers more than anybody. And, you know, the thinking is that if we can eliminate this tax on businesses, then they're more profitable, they can hire more people, and they can expand and so on and so forth. The problem is that the local units of government are the ones who really suffer because they rely on the personal property tax to run their government. And so if you don't have that, what they call the PPT, personal property tax, well, then you've got to find something else. And so the Municipal League has been working with Republicans to see what else can be done. Right now, as far as I know, they haven't found a solution, but there is a lot of interest in the Senate to phase this out. There's a state senator from the Battle Creek area in the Jackson area, Mike Knopfs, who's interested in doing that. But, you know, until they find a replacement for the revenue, I have a hard time believing they can do this, especially at a time when the state is eliminating statutory revenue-sharing payments to the state and going on a different type of performance-based measure.
We're talking with Kyle Malin, the editor of the MERS newsletter, on the Tony Connolly Morning Show on 1320 WILS. Final question for you, Kyle. The Citizens Against Government Outreach group is in charge, according to MERS, of the recall effort against Republican Paul Scott. Is he in trouble?
Yeah, well, he is, because the folks who are looking to recall him there have enough valid signatures, according to the Secretary of State at first blush there, to go ahead and put him on the ballot. And so that means the voters in the 51st House District, which is up in Genesee County, Southern Genesee County, Grand Blanc area, are going to have a chance to recall him. Now, he's a Republican. He's the head of the House Education Committee. The Michigan Education Association has made it a priority to get him out of office because, you know, actually they endorsed him once upon a time, which is kind of funny, but they feel like he's gone wayward and are anxious to boot him. You know, I don't want to compare him to the mob, but, you know, it's like making a deal with, you know, the mob, I suppose. You know, you're good friends and you guys are linked at the hips until you, you know, go crossways with them, and then they're like, hey, you know, you got to go. And, you know, I think they're trying to send a message that, you know, if you're serious about helping public education and getting money to schools, you know, you gotta walk the walk if you're going to talk the talk. And so that's why they're a bit upset. And the polling that we did last week shows that 61% of voters would recall him. He's got some other issues out there up in the district that has some of the conservatives bent out of shape. And so, yeah, he's got a lot of work on his hands. I don't think it's a hopeless cause, but he's got a lot of work on his hands to go talk to people and get them to prevent a recall in November.
It reminded me of a conversation I had with Ira Salters, who's the head of the MEA, and I had asked her about some challenges she had with then-Governor Jennifer Granholm, and I asked her, didn't you support that governor? And she she sniped back at me, you know we did, and I just thought that was funny. There's someone you supported not following the way of doing things that you want done. I just thought that was funny.
Yeah, you know, they have you fill out questionnaires and you go through an interview. I mean, they just don't endorse people willy-nilly. I mean, they go through a screening process and they got to like where you are. And, you know, they only endorse a few Republicans anyway. And so the few that they do endorse, you know, they got to feel really comfortable with. And in the past, the House members that they have endorsed, like John Stewart or Mike Pumphrey, has been very good about following along with their agenda and what they want done. But, you know, Paul Scott is really leading the reform in the House, and they're not a big fan of what he's pumping out right now as far as eliminating teacher tenure. And, you know, now there's the school of choice issue going on. You know, they just want to send a signal.
Kyle Malin is the editor of the MIRS newsletter, Ever Imitated, Never Duplicated. Go to MIRS.com. Kyle, thanks so much.
Hey, my pleasure, Tony.